What a blessing that God uses those kinds of things to be able to have an impact on individuals' lives. So if you want more information, Ali will be here after service. You guys can get with her and just talk with her. I'm sure she'd love to be able to share. Obviously, for time's sake, there's not a lot that we could do, but I'm sure she has a lot more stuff that the Lord has spoken to her and done in and through her. I know that she's not the only one. I know there's been several others that at this church that have gone as well. I'm not a lot real familiar with the ministry, but I know God has used it powerfully. So definitely a great tool that the Lord's using. So praise the Lord for that. Tonight we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles there, we'll pray and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Father, we come before you again and we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for this place that we could gather. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas, that we celebrate your birth. We thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Lord, to come into this earth to take the form of man and die for us and give us life and life abundantly. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each one of our lives. And Lord, we don't ever want to be complacent in that work. We want to always be striving to draw closer to you and have a more deeper personal relationship. And so even as we look to these next few days, Lord, in New Year that we have, we know that there is oftentimes many resolutions and just goals that we set, Lord, but ultimately we want to look at your word and what you have and what you bestowed upon us and the love that you have for us. And we ask, Father, that even as we look to those things, that you would draw us closer to you, that you would just pour your grace and mercy upon us, Lord, as your word declares that it's new every morning. And so we just look forward to what you're going to do in 2026. We don't want to be settled with what you did in 2025. And so we're looking for just a greater work that is yet to be done, not only in this place, but in this church and within your people. And so we just ask even tonight, Lord, as we look to this very thing, as we look to your word, that you would just kindle this fire within us, that we would have this relationship that you desire, that we would fall more in love with you each and every day, that we'd fall more in love with your word and with each other, and that again you would begin this revival within us, Lord, that we might go out there and then just be on fire for you in our communities, in our church, in our family. We know that we cannot do it apart from you. We cannot do it apart from your spirit. And so we pray tonight, Holy Spirit, would you fill us? And would you help us to be the witnesses that you've called us to be? To be the examples that you've called us to be. And with all the craziness that goes on in this world, Lord, and we see it all around us, it doesn't take much to see it and to be engulfed in it. Father, that you'd help us to take this time tonight to set aside, to focus on you and your word and what you have for us. Speak to your children. Set me aside, Lord, and may you just reveal what you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to look at two verses. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. These are two verses that have been impactful in my life. Oftentimes when there's a decision that needs to be made or that the Lord is doing something in my life and in that particular time, and I just want to draw from it. And again, like I said before, as we look to this new year and we look to a lot of times to the different goals and so forth that we set for ourselves and oftentimes don't follow through, but yet we do it, right? And so we just want to look at it. But again, 4 days away from 2026, we can all look back at 2025 and we can even look even maybe further to the beginning of 2025, and you can remember, maybe you don't, but you can remember maybe things that you've set in your life and goals and resolutions again, and fresh starts, and clean slates, and going to the gym, and we know that next week it'll probably be packed for about 10 days, and then it won't, right? I know I've been there many times and set these things. Lord, I'm gonna be in your word more. I'm gonna pray more. I'm gonna read my Bible in 365 days. I'm gonna go get me one of those what do they call it, the whole year Bible or 1 year Bible, you know, and I'm going to read through it and that's my goal. And oftentimes It starts off with this great enthusiasm, but many of us never finish those things. Our own strength, when we rely on it, doesn't get us to the finish line. But that's why I'm grateful, and you and I should be grateful, that God doesn't leave us or leave renewal in our lives or these resolutions in our life up to our own willpower. He speaks a better word, a divine word over our lives. And as we look at Isaiah 43 in verses 18 and 19, we're going to walk through these two verses and we're going to realize what God spoke to the children of Israel in their particular time, but we're going to apply it to our lives and how we can look forward to the new thing that God is doing. And that's what I titled this message, A New Thing. God wants to do a new thing in our lives. Doesn't mean that he can't use old things, and there's many old things that he continues to use within our lives, but again, we shouldn't be complacent and content with where we've been or what we've done. And we'll look at the children of Israel and even our own tendencies to look back at our past successes and look back at our past history and maybe the things we did great or the things we failed at. And sometimes those things hinder us from being able to move forward into something that God wants to do in and through our lives. And so we're going to read it, we'll break it down, and then we'll look at some application. The word says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The words that Isaiah speaks here come from a section of the book of Isaiah, often called the book of consolation, through these chapters, chapter 40 through about 55. And God's people, Israel, had been living in exile in Babylon for about 70 years. In Jerusalem and the temple, they laid in ruins. And the glorious days of David and Solomon felt like ancient history. Many Jews had given up hope of ever returning home, and they were tempted to think that God had abandoned them forever. And through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks comfort to this weary, discouraged people. And he reminds them that he is the Redeemer who carried them in the past and will act powerfully again in their lives today. And like I said, we can look at this particular time in the children of Israel's lives, and we can apply these very things to our life. I don't know about you, but I know that there's often many times in my life where I find myself in that very place, weary and discouraged, and forgetting what God has done and what he continues to do. A lot of it is changed through perspective. And we stand on the promises of God, we look at his word, and we see the things that he's done in our lives. We live in a society of what have you done for me lately? And we forget sometimes of the things that he's done for us and what he's going to do and continue to do. And so the word starts off and it says, do not remember the former things. And so God begins with this command and he tells them, don't remember these things. Don't remember the former things. And this is not telling us to have amnesia about our history. God himself remembers and he never forgets his covenant towards his people. But the idea here is do not keep turning it over and over in your mind. I look at my past, and as we even heard with Allie and her story and her past, and it's good to look back and to reflect on your past and where you've come from and where God has brought you to and what he's doing in your life and how he's brought you so far in your life. But it's not okay to resonate on those things and to continue to allow them to stir within your mind over and over. Don't let the past to keep on replaying this loop, this endless loop within your life. We can look back on it and we can reflect on it, but he says, don't remember those former things. And some of us carry those former things that have taken place, again, maybe in this last year, or maybe in years prior, or throughout your history, or maybe your childhood. Maybe there's trauma there, and there's things that you've gone through, and sometimes we hold on to those things. And we'll look at a little bit of what happens when that takes place. We're never allowed to move forward when we're stuck in the past of those things, whether it's, you know, trauma or difficulty or despair, or maybe it's even successes and things that you've done well. And so carrying those former things, or even years earlier that we keep remembering, and again, we talked about it this morning, our Pastor Mark touched on it, maybe it's a divorce, betrayal from a friend, a ministry that failed, maybe you have a child that's walked away from the Lord, words that you've spoken in anger, whatever the case may be. Or maybe it is that you remember the past successes so vividly that you're afraid to step into something new. Maybe God has blessed you in certain areas of your life, and those things have been great, and you've watched God do great things, and you don't want to change those things. If it's not broke, why fix it? And so maybe that's holding you back from something that God wants to do fresh and new in your life. Maybe he's got a new calling for you, but you're stuck in those things because, well, God is blessing it. I always forget this. Sorry. The idea is to stop rehearsing the scene. To stop looking back into those things, looking into the past, into those failures or even successes. He says, and he doubles down here, and he says, nor consider the things of old. To consider means to ponder or to weigh or to meditate. God is saying, don't keep weighing yesterday's failures or glories on the scales of your heart. Don't keep looking back to those things again, whether they're difficult or they're great or whatever has taken place. Remember, the children of Israel here, they were in exile. They were defeated, displaced, and discouraged. And they were constantly considering of how great things used to be, but they weren't living in those times anymore. Or maybe they were stuck thinking about how badly they had blown it and fallen into sin. Maybe sometimes that's where we find ourselves, looking back into past sins, our failures, and thinking, man, there's no way that God can use me now because I've messed up so bad. Financial struggles, health scares, broken relationships. And the invitation here is to stop weighing the old, lay it down. God is not asking us to figure out the past. He's asking us to trust him with your future, with our future. Sometimes that's hard. If you're like me, I've got control issues. Oftentimes, my wife will offer to drive the car when we're traveling somewhere, and I will let her. And I think, you know what, I'll get some rest while she's driving. And I've got one eye open, and I could never rest because... Not that she's a bad driver, I'm not saying that. But just having someone's life in my hands, it's tough for me to do that. And then I end up saying, you know what, I'm just going to jump back in and drive. I might as well. I'm not getting any rest here. But sometimes that's the case, right? Sometimes we hold on to those things. We hold on to that control. We don't want to let go because the future, the unknown, sometimes it's scary, right? It's fearful. But he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Here comes this dramatic shift that God says, behold, look, pay attention, wake up. Notice who's doing the action, right? What does the word say? He says, I will do. Not that you should try harder or that you should do. No, if you get your act together, maybe none of those things. He says, I, Yahweh, I will do a new thing. And this is pure grace in our lives. This is pure grace and mercy. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. What a blessing that we could wake up and every morning we have new mercy that God gives to us. And the beauty is that he is doing this work, that he is doing the work in our lives, and that we can stand again on his promise. We can stand again on what he says in his word. I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Whatever uncertainties, whatever wildernesses that we might face ahead of us in this new year, maybe this isn't something that you're looking at and you're thinking this is something great that I'm looking at for a new year. Maybe you're looking at this new year and you're thinking to yourself, man, this is just another year of the same. It's another year of having to deal with the same thing that I've been dealing with every single year or this last year. And you're going into this and you're thinking to yourself, well, nothing's changing. It's the same old, same old. And again, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a tough time. Maybe it's your finances. Whatever it is, the Lord tells us here, and we can stand on these promises that he gives to us, that he will do this new thing. He is the one that initiates this thing. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden things are going to be all perfect in your life. Maybe it is that this new thing that he does is he might allow you to go through a struggle. And he might allow you to go through a difficulty. I don't know about you, but I can tell you for me personally in my life, anytime that I've ever been through a difficult situation in a tough time of my life, it's always driven me closer to Christ. Always. I've never prayed more. I've never read my word more. I've never been closer to him through difficulty. And I'm not saying that you can't, and maybe you're different, but I know for me, when things are going good, I don't have the tendency to draw closer to him. I have the tendency to rely on my own self. Well, things are good now. Money in the bank. I got a good job. Things are fine. But every single time, every time that difficulty has taken place in my life, it's always forced me to be on my knees and to be on my face more. And so I say, Lord, if this is what it takes, bring it, even though I don't want it. And so the idea is, Lord, I receive that you are the one who will do this new thing in my life. I receive what it is that you want to do in my life. And whatever that is, whatever this new thing that you potentially desire to do in my life, I accept it, I receive it, and I'm allowing you to do it. And again, it doesn't mean things are going to be great. Don't misunderstand me. But whatever this change is that the Lord wants to bring, whatever this thing that is allowed in your life, the idea would be, right, that it brings life, that it brings a dependency, and that it draws us closer to him in a more dependent personal relationship. And he goes on and says that now it shall spring forth, right? And God adds this urgency and this immediacy, right? This present tense, not someday, not when you feel ready, not on January 1st, but now. It shall spring forth. And the idea and the picture here, and I know we've all seen it, right, is this cracked piece of concrete, and you've got this one little piece of weed or something growing up out of this concrete, and it's fought its way through all of the rock and all the rubble that's underneath it and whatever, and it's popped its way out through this little piece of concrete that's got a crack in it, right? Hard, dry soil packed. This new thing's not waiting for perfect conditions. Maybe it's already beginning in your life now. Maybe it's already been taking place in your life. Some of you have come into this room discouraged. And maybe it is that God's been planting seeds of hope in your life, of healing. Maybe you've been dealing with health issues. Maybe you've been dealing with direction and the call of God in your life. I love the story, and I'm not going to go through it, but it's a great story, and it's kind of an analogy, I guess, of the person that's, there's many variations of it, right? But it's the person that's out there in the water, and they're on a boat or something, right? And he's crying out to God, why didn't you save me? And the whole thing, right, is that he sent a, you know, he sent a ship and a boat and a helicopter, and he sent all these things, right? And the guy's like, well, why aren't you helping me, Lord? And the reality is that oftentimes we have what is necessary to give us victory. We have what's necessary to give us success. And maybe it is, again, that we're waiting for perfect conditions, but it's already begun. Maybe it is that God's already been planting these things within you. Maybe it's a conversation, a scripture that leapt off the page, a quiet stirring in your heart and your spirit. Maybe we're sitting and waiting for us to feel different, to believe that it's happening. And again, I call us to stand on the promises of God and to have faith to believe that God is doing this work. And maybe we need to ask ourselves tonight, God, what is it that you're already doing in my life? And again, maybe it is something difficult or some tragedy that God is allowing to take place to wake us up and to open our eyes to what he wants to do. Maybe he's been putting something on your heart and he's been speaking to you about it. The next section, he says, you shall know it. And he asks this searching question, right? He says, shall you not know it? He's not doubting his own power. He's challenging our perception. Will we notice? Will we recognize what he's doing in our lives? Are we in tune to the Spirit of God speaking to us and moving in our lives? And if it was right there in front of us, would we know it? Or would we be looking for something else? I love the picture of the Spirit of God moving in our lives. And I've always likened it to a receiver. You know, we all know receivers, and I use this analogy a lot, but it paints a picture for me, and I love it because of that. But we all know what receivers are, and maybe some of you younger people don't really know, but back in the day, you used to have these old school receivers, and you had to change and tune the receiver to the specific channel that you wanted, whether it's a radio channel or a TV channel with the old, you know, dial. And then when you did that, what happened? You got a radio channel that was playing music or something, or a TV channel that was playing a certain show or whatever the case is. The reality is we have those TV waves and radio waves bouncing all around us today, right? Even in this room. We don't see it because we have to be tuned into that right channel. We need our receivers to be tuned in. Right? And that's like the Spirit of God in our lives. If we're not in tune to the Spirit speaking into our lives, if we're not in tune to what he's doing, then we don't see it. We're the receivers. And so oftentimes, maybe we miss the new thing because we're looking for something dramatic to happen, when God is doing maybe something quiet. Maybe he's given you a desire to pray. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to serve. I know if you've come to this church long enough, there's plenty of opportunities to serve. Especially in the children's ministry, right? And so maybe that's what the Lord's putting on your heart. Maybe that opportunity that he's saying is, look, here's the opportunity. I've been speaking this to you, but you've got to take the action. You've got to be obedient to it. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. And I know for me in my life and in my walk, that's often what I pray, Lord, speak to me your will, but then help me to be obedient to it. It's one thing for God to speak, and often he does, more than I think we anticipate or understand. And when he does speak, though, you have to be obedient. I have to be obedient to then what he's speaking to me. And so, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to us? And then help me to be obedient to what you are speaking to me, because I think that's harder than the fact that God speaks to us, because I believe he often speaks to us daily. But the hard thing is putting that into action. The practical steps. Maybe he's telling you that he wants you to pray more. Maybe he's telling you that he wants you to read more. Maybe he's telling you he wants you to get plugged in more. Whatever the case is, the reality is that we need to be active in that, whatever he's speaking. Keep it simple. Write it down. Be in tune to what the Spirit's speaking. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. God gives two vivid promises here. First, he gives us a road in the wilderness. A wilderness is pathless. It's disorienting. It's exhausting. We remember the children of Israel when they were traveling through the wilderness, and whether you've been on a hike or you've been in somewhere in the desert in your lifetime or so forth, and you can see this wilderness is desolate. It's often, again, no pathways. There's no trails, maybe, whatever the case is. But God says, I will make a road, a highway. I'll make a clear way forward. And again, maybe some of us are facing these wilderness seasons as we head into this new year. Maybe you're uncertain with your job or your health or relationships, spiritual dryness. God is saying, I'm already clearing a path that you cannot see. And again, the next step is obedience. It takes obedience. Sign up for that class. Sign up to serve. Jump in somewhere that he wants you to jump into. Join that small group if you desire fellowship with people. Serve somebody else. Forgive the person if he's asking you to forgive. Be obedient to what he's asking you to do. These are the steps that are important and necessary for these things to take place. Maybe he's asking you to apply for a new job. Whatever the case is. Like I said before, these sometimes are scary things because change is scary in our life. But if God is speaking to you, and this is something that he's putting on your heart, maybe it is that you need to take that step of faith and be obedient to what he's doing, what he's doing in your life. What is the next step that God is asking you to take in this new year, in this next week, today, tonight, that you know you've been holding back on and you haven't been committed to doing it? And you're saying, well, maybe next week, Lord. Maybe if this happens, then I'll do it. And God is saying, listen, do that now. I'll make a road in the wilderness. I'll make a pathway for you when there is no pathway. And rivers in the desert. Finally, he speaks of rivers, plural, abundant, in the desert. Again, deserts are often places of death and thirst, and rivers are representations of refreshment, fulfillment, right? I mean, fruitfulness and joy. Rivers in the desert. God doesn't just get us through these dry seasons in the life, but he brings overflowing blessings in the middle of it. And again, that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But his promise is to be with us through it. His promise is to bring us out of it. And oftentimes it's out of it to into something else. But he's with us through it all. And he promises us these very things. I know that sometimes it might be difficult to look back and look at what God has done in your life, because maybe you've had one of those hard years. Maybe you've had several hard years. But I know if we look back with gratitude and we look at the things that God has done and what he spared us from, I know we can all draw areas in our lives that God has been faithful and that we can be thankful for. And so I challenge all of us, myself included, when we look back of God's faithfulness, of areas in our life that we can be grateful for what he's done, even if it's been tough. Because maybe through that toughness, he's done something great in your life. Maybe he's grown your faith. Maybe he's grown your trust. Maybe he's grown your relationship. In these two short verses, God commands us to stop obsessing over the past, and he invites us to behold his present and his active grace in our life. And he promises to make a clear road and abundant rivers ahead. And this isn't a call to try harder in 2026. This is a call to trust deeper. To trust that the God who makes new things spring forth when everything looks dead. And then he gives us supernatural ability, not within our own strength, but within his strength, right? Philippians 4:13. And that's a key and a reminder to stand on his promises and his faithfulness. And even when we can, or we can't, he can. We stand on that. And so my encouragement to all of us in this new year, we look back and we reflect on what God has done, and we look forward to the future and what he's going to do. Ask yourselves, search your heart. Maybe it is that God wants you to take steps of faith. Maybe it is that God wants you to dig deeper and have a more personal relationship. And as he's speaking to you tonight and he wants to do those things, trust in him. Trust in that he's able. And then be obedient to whatever it is that he speaks. Because he often speaks. I just think we often don't listen. And so that's my heart for us this evening and the word that I have. So why don't you pray with me? Father, we come before you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for this night, and we thank you for the work that you've done. And Lord, as we look in these next few days and as the year ends, and we look forward to 2026, and as we talked about with the many resolutions and the many goals that we might set, Lord, I pray that the ultimate goal would to be trusting you deeper, would to have a more stronger faith, to have a more complete dependency for you in our lives, that we would love you more, that we would love your word more, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord, as your word promises, that those who seek you with their whole heart will find you. Help us this year to seek you with a whole heart as you reveal yourself to us and the promises that you have. Give us the strength, Lord, your strength, to endure hardships, difficulties, and even successes. Lord, that we wouldn't be content with the things that we did in the past and the victories that you've given to us. But Lord, that would motivate us to a more personal, dependent relationship with you. And Father, that we would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that you would be our motivation, that the love that we have for you would motivate us in this new year to love you more, to love your people more, and to be examples of your goodness and your grace in our lives. Just as we are examples to those around us through marriage, but also through our relationship with you. And so we pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to shine your light so bright that those around us may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We know that we can't do it apart from you and your Spirit, Lord. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, again, help us. Give us your strength. Give us your ability to continue to fight the good fight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.